teens, primarily no teens are there in this regard. It's not all the smart city projects that we have been requested to report upon. There's a whole host of smart city projects that have been proposed across various provinces and also various metros and councils, and we have registered many of these projects. However, the committee highlighted the following as the ones we need to provide some update upon. Mooikloof Megacity, which is in Tshwane, and Nkosi City, that is to be adjacent to Kruger National Park, and the Durban Aerotropolis in eThekwini, as well as the Lanseria Smart City in Lanseria, Johannesburg. Now, Chair, in this regard, we focus primarily on those specific ones just to give an update. But I think one needs to start.
Sorry, Mr. Moyem, I do apologize. I'm sorry, Chair, if I may indulge you.
Yes, Honorable.
I do understand that we were sent the presentation, but for purposes of being able to follow Mr. Moyemi, may I ask that the presentation be flighted? Because we would like to see where he is on the presentation so that we can follow accordingly.
That is in order, Honorable Silo. It's just that some of us are looking at the presentation in our other gadgets. Can we then give Dr. Alex Moemi hosting rights? Lwazi?
I've given the rights, Chair.
May I suggest that the rights be given to my colleague, Mametsi, who would then scroll as I present?
Is Mametsi in?
Yes.
I had her talking. I don't know whether he's also using...
No, she's locked on, Chairperson.
Okay, can you give her the hosting rights? I can see that Ms. Nyeleti has been given hosting rights. Okay, Mametsi does have hosting rights now. Ms. Mametsi, can you assist Dr. Alec Mwemi? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. The point I was making was to say that those are the four the committee had expressed an interest in getting an update report on, and we would duly provide same. Save for the fact to indicate that on all of the projects that are there, the four of them, the ones that have gone through the rigorous processes of getting them registered with ourselves, ISA, is actually the Mooikloof Megacity in Pretoria. The other three are yet to be registered. We are aware that an approach has been made and that we have given feedback on all three of them, but they are not yet on our register as ISA. They are still with the project sponsors, but nevertheless, we would give an update as to where we are with the project sponsors on each of the other three. But on Mooikloof, we can then provide a report on where we are about that. Just to indicate that the issue of the new city initiative, South Africa had long taken a decision, Honorable Chair and members, that we need to build a smart city or a new city completely, a post-apartheid city, and noting that all we have been doing since the advent of democracy in 1994 has been to try and alter the apartheid spatial divide and to try to close that spatial gap and to ensure that our developmental pools in, across various cities and city regions as well as districts was aimed at bridging the racial divides created by the then laws, including the Group Areas Act, the Separate Amenities Act, and apartheid spatial planning in general. And that viewpoint and the dream of having a smart city or a city, a totally new city in South Africa has preoccupied the democratic government and its democratic project to date. With this in mind, a new initiatives were suggested. And as you could recall, the one that seems to be taking off the ground with speed was Lanseria Smart City until it began to experience challenges that I will outline very quickly. But of import is that the previous cabinet in terms of the fifth administration took a decision to build a smart city. This was later crafted and clarified by the sixth administration, by which a new smart city flagship project for South Africa was agreed to as the Eastern Seaboard, a new smart city in the Eastern Cape. And that's the one the whole of government has been focused upon, led by COCTA, as a key department that coordinates local governance, as well as has been assigned the duty by the Interministerial Committee on Land Reform to look at such matters. COCTA has since managed to finalize the Smart Cities Framework in this regard, which was adopted in March of 2021. And in this regard, that framework indeed seeks to look at researching and rollout strategies, as well as plans of actions that emanate out of the framework for smart cities. And the idea, as I've indicated, is the idea of reversing South Africa's fragmented urban past that has been informed by the apartheid policies and into a much more robust urban spatial planning that will allow for greater growth and integration and the ease of movement of goods and services and of the development in a sustainable manner, considering the sustainable development goals. The objectives really has been to ensure that we share local and international learning experiences with other role players that have been ahead of us in this regard. And one needs to mention that one of the key areas of information sharing and discussions on the sidelines of the main BRICS summit that took place recently has been on the issue of development planning, as well as cooperation with the BRICS member countries, some of them, which have already gone way ahead in the development of smart cities in this regard. One also needs to indicate that the framework really had intended to harness and to bring a common understanding among all role players in the South African planning landscape, as well as government in general, that we are at idem about the purpose and where we are going, and in terms of the framework that we seek to follow in devising smart cities in this regard. The other key issue has been the outline of the factors to outline these factors that needs to be considered, steps that needs to be taken when each time we seek to identify, plan for, and also implement the Smart City Initiative. And I think that the framework has now provided sort of an eliminating criteria that we need to now follow in the determination of that. So with this and a key set of principles guiding our decision-making in the identification, planning, and implementation of smart city initiatives, and also most importantly, technologies that goes together with making it a smart city. We have sought to bring convergence and to ensure that there is uniformity of approach whilst not stifling innovativeness across different landscapes and topographies. But we have nevertheless sought to bring some degree of uniformity in our approach. So now, Chair, I need to just indicate a little bit, because the Eastern Seaboard Development Vision, as I've indicated, is the one being driven directly by government at the national level. I'm aware that the committee has not asked us to report on this, but I thought that it will make perfect sense, because this is where really we're using it as a pilot to pilot the implementation of the Smart City Framework. And all of the other ones you are looking at would need to then so to say fit in within the framework as it has been identified. And from this one, we will learn all essential lessons that we require to make even the other ones much more robust, and so that we do not go into pitfalls as we have gone on these other projects on a repetitive basis one-on-one, but were able to draw on the essential lessons and apply them right away. So consequently, this is proposed really as a pilot, as I've indicated, in the areas of Mthatha, Port Shepstone, Margate, as a corridor as a whole. And you would also know that other areas were considered in this regard. And there has been also the issue of the development of small harbors, which our department is looking currently at three, and with the further expansion to the others, and an identification of Port St. John's in the Eastern Cape has also gone through the preparation stages and as supported by ESA through the Department of Public Works. Now, the overall infrastructure summary, what we are looking at in terms of this is 75.5% of provincial and district roads that remain unpaved would require attention in order for this to be a smart city, and that the districts that are involved in this regard, Ouar Tambo, Alfred Nzo, Ugu, as well as Erigwala in the Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal respectively, would need to provide the requisite funding and planning for this on an enhanced basis so that it becomes the whole city region of development in line with the district development model. We're also looking at water, sanitation, electricity, waste management, as well as information and communication technologies embedded within this. The key indicators by which we would seek to assess ourselves whether indeed we are delivering a credible smart city is at this planning phase before we even go to rollout. And during this planning phase, we ought to ask ourselves guiding questions, key amongst which is the issue of accessibility of water, not just for utilization by households, but also for infrastructure development and industrialization. But importantly, that even for the indigent households, free basic services are provided, including the blue drop status. On sanitation, we are looking as well on the same levels, and particularly the green drop for used and affluent water that should come out of a city of this nature. And on electricity, the consistent provision and as well as services to indigent households, including credible infrastructure to ensure a continuous provision of energy and electricity. On waste management, obviously here our point is to make sure that this city is as efficient as possible. South Africa has a serious problem of landfills right now, and our viewpoint is that we have smarter ways. We have seen what the Chinese are doing, what Singapore has been trailing the blaze around this, and even the Netherlands in as far as smart waste management technologies that are employed, and that's exactly what we are looking at. And a lot of infrastructure support and development is still required in order for this city district region to actually come to closer to where it's required to be for the smart city process to be rolled out on the Eastern Seaboard. I now wish to move to the next area, which has been where, just to indicate where we are now. We are now where we have just finalized the special development framework for this city region. As indicated, we have gone through a number of paces in this regard. There is a dedicated working committee that is chaired by MISA, the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, in this regard. But one also needs to indicate that in this regard, that work has gone quite extensive. We have done even the conceptual vision of the Eastern Seaboard, and the slide I presented before is actually drawn out of that conceptual framework. And we went to the next phase of regional situational analysis and a synthesis report. And one needs to indicate that the offshoot of even that work had actually gone into supporting other initiatives around those four districts, enabling their ability to plan better, and for the first time, them having some key infrastructure information available for themselves. In as far as the other key issues is that we have done the implementation framework by which we had given all the four city districts the opportunity to look at them, but also agreed that they would need at least a period of a medium-term expenditure framework, 3 to 5 years, for them to restructure their budget, rededicate themselves to the areas of what we were positing in as far as those key outcomes, four of them, including water, sanitation, ICTs, and waste management, and then also to look at the issue of the special framework. So where we are now, we're having this draft special framework. Consultations have taken place, and some are still continuing on some key areas. And as you may recall, the Minister of National Department of Agriculture, Land Reform, Rural Development had actually promulgated this now. And we are looking at a stage beyond this. Stage 7 would go towards the reconfirmation of budgets and bringing the project to a financial close. In terms of role clarifications, the Cooperative Governance Department is responsible for the city's framework itself and its rollout and the discipline within which all of the agencies and components of government will to pursue this have got to go through that and to comply with, and they monitor that themselves. And they also lead the Interministerial Committee on the Development of Smart Cities and on Land Reform. And they also are driving the Eastern Seaboard Development through MISA. The role of the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure itself is drawn from the performance agreement that is signed between the Minister and the President. And in it, we are required as Public Works to identify existing towns, cities, for refurbishment and transformation into smart cities. And I think that this, if you see, the role of public works itself is not necessarily on the initiation of new projects. It's on converting existing cities into becoming smart cities. So this is more like a retrofit, whereas the Department of Cooperative Governance has a mandate of looking at greenfields. And Infrastructure South Africa, we participate both ways, whether greenfields or brownfields, we participate in both. Of course, it is envisaged that each and every smart city, as we have seen, all of the projects we have seen so far, all of them are above $1 billion, which is like our minimum requirement for us, ISA, to be involved. And we enter this space largely for two reasons. Number one is that many of these smart cities are gazetted as the strategic integrated project, SIPs, and all the SIPs that have been gazetted, the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Committee has given the responsibility to us, ISA, to coordinate same and to make sure that we troubleshoot, we do all what is necessary to bring the projects to fruition, including assisting with capacity to the struggling project sponsors, and with capacity to actually drive and smoothen and to lubricate the delivery machinery. One also needs to indicate that in this regard, we are also compelled by the prescripts and strictures of the Infrastructure Development Act, which also requires of us to provide support and to also troubleshoot and ensure facilitation for development of mega projects in this regard, and to also provide project preparation support where it is deemed feasible and necessary. So within that, one now can indicate that that role, as you may be aware, I'm going to give this as a like a highlight of the four projects we have been requested to speak about: Mooikloof, Mega City, Ngosi, Durban Aerotropolis, and Lanseria. On this slide, I just need to indicate first and foremost that DPW Planning and Precinct Development Unit forms part of COCTA Smart City Task Team, which is fairly in its infancy in as far as driving now the Eastern Seaboard as a main thing, but also in future to coordinate the efforts around all other smart cities. But DPWI inputs into the smart city terms of reference, and also to implement the smart cities framework as highlighted. One also needs to indicate that the National User Departments are to be accommodated in the status smart city developments, and thereby there has been a congruence of planning from that point of view, fostering greater expectations and cooperation that the government precincts program as well as the smart city developments would be married into complementing each other, and them being developed, if not side by side, often in an integrated manner. So to that extent, we are taking a leaf of the really the vision of SPLUMA to ensure that whilst we leave the competence at municipal level, but that the support can come national and can be able to deliver on this. Just in summary, on Mooikloof is intended to build 50,000 sectional title residential units, and this has been gazetted already, and the stated update I'll provide it in the next dedicated slide. On Inkosi, this is an initiative of City of Mbombela, and the township establishment process has now been completed, and the mixed-use new development municipality approach that BFI requires for funding would need to be finalized so that we can submit to the National Treasury for provision of same funding for bulk engineering services and infrastructure. The project was submitted to us for registration with IFA. We had deferred this due to the clarification required on the institutional and governance structure of the project. Earlier when it came forth, we also had to indicate that up until the municipality had actually done the necessary declarations and taken the specific resolutions, we would not be able to go through gate one with them. They have since done that as indicated there, and we are now looking at its governance structure because it was not clear how they seek to have this institutionalized and managed, and it couldn't be done as we view it within the normal service delivery processes the municipality undertakes on a day-to-day basis. With Durban Aerotropolis, that one, the project was championed by KwaZulu-Natal Department of Economic Development, Tourism and Environmental Affairs. We need to indicate that earlier on it was seen as a standalone, but there has since been a lot of work done to bring both the development of the Duve Trade Port, the Special Economic Zone, and the Aerotropolis project to converge, and that it be part of the Duve Trade Port facilities. And that made perfect sense in as far as an Aerotropolis being a development for light manufacturing hub, cargo handling, logistics, and a corridor for human settlements and development. And Aerotropolis has to be next to an airport, and therefore it made perfect sense, as Duve Trade Port was already a gateway for trade and adjacent to the airport in the Kinshasa. And to that extent, the master plan includes a mix of land uses subservient to and in support of the airport and its operation. And the DPW has considered the opportunity to provide accommodation to appropriate user departments in support of integrated development. You would know that at any airport of this nature, DPW always has a minimum of about six agencies as well as departments of government which needs to operate in an airport as a port of entry, and Immigration Office of Home Affairs, Customs of SARS, and Environmental Affairs for all of that and so on. So this is also being considered ahead of time, that it is properly integrated and that the design allows for the ease of flow as well as efficiencies of what government mandates needs to be incorporated. On Lanseria Smart City, one needs to indicate that this is a project of the Gauteng Provincial Government. The Office of the Premier specifically was driving this project, and DID, or the Department of Infrastructure Development in Gauteng, has now been assigned to drive the process. One needs to indicate that the Greater Lanseria Master Plan was submitted to DPWI for comments, and this passed on the November last year. we are now aware that the different city components as well as the different municipalities that will make up the Grand Lance area would need to consider the master plans as well and to get them approved. I will now go on a project by project, slide by slide, a bit of a slight deep dive. And just to indicate that on Mooikloof Mega Residential City, this was gazetted as SIP number 24 under human settlements. And the gazette came out on the 24th of July, 2020. And since then, this project was registered as a private sector project. And it was the commitment to its investment came through the SIDS, or the Sustainable Infrastructure Development Symposium that IFA hosts on an annual basis. And we have in that looked at what the project was to deliver. As earlier indicated, it seeks to deliver 50,000 residential units over a long-term period, and that the development is targeting affordable market, but is also providing for first-time home buyers and also offers a range of amenities for prospective residents. And phase one seeks to deliver 15,000 housing units. One needs to say that some developments associated with Mooikloof have begun, expansion of roads and as well as the necessary approvals for land and for development, as well as the issues pertaining to site establishment have occurred. However, this project has hit a bit of a snag in the sense that whilst the private sector companies are willing to invest in excess of $4 billion in the development of this smart city, what is required is some amount of about $1.2 to $1.3 billion that would look at bulk infrastructure provision. Seeing that this is situated in the Tshwane Metropolitan Municipality, the Tshwane Metro has been engaged by ISA, by the Infrastructure Fund, by National Treasury, by the private sector itself, by the presidency, and we are now thinking about escalating it to Operation Vulindlela to seek to resolve the impasse. The issue really is that Tshwane indicates that it does not have the requisite resources for bulk infrastructure, $1.3 billion. Together with the Treasury, we had gone to work as ISA and the presidency to look at what do we do to troubleshoot this problem. We came up with three possible proposals or solutions to help drive this process further. Number one, we had decided that we could engage with the Infrastructure Fund and DBSA specifically for a product called Vumela, by which really DBSA, as a development bank of our country, seeks to bring all the requisite resources that are required to develop bulk with the proviso that the city itself, Tshwane, agrees to sign over the rates and taxes that are to be derived out of that bulk for the duration which the investment has been amortized, and after which once bulk has been paid for through DBSA investment, and DBSA has recouped its investment, that the funds and now the revenue would then be accruable to the city. This was a serious proposal we thought could be considered. We know that cities like Etekwini have shown tremendous interest in taking up such an offer, but Tshwane was not very keen about that. Again, there was the issue of grant pledging, which was also proposed as an alternative to the city of Tshwane, that in the medium-term expenditure framework, the amount of money they have allocated in future years, that be allocated upfront, so sort of front loading it, and that they spend that now and develop bulk. And once the housing units are then built and sold, that the residents who buy this will pay rates and taxes to the city, which then begins to recoup that money. And at the time, that money was due to the city to be transferred by the treasury. At that time, the city does not get that funds because they had received them much earlier. This too was put before Tshwane in this regard, and that too didn't seem to be of interest to Tshwane. The last proposal we came with was a build operate transfer scheme, which the treasury agreed to, that we could proposition this to Tshwane to consider. And in this regard, that proposition was then put forth that either private sector or Tshwane runs its own process of getting a outfit or a service provider that will indeed do the building of the bulk on its behalf, operate it, make its money, transfer the infrastructure back to Tshwane after they have made money. We have always felt strongly about the Vumela type of product with DBSA, primarily because there is no profit motive really. DBSA is interested in the development of our country, and save for their own administrative fees, there is nothing, no profit that is being decreed or leveled against that. Also, with the front loading thing, the city is in charge of its funds and knows that it has pledged what it was supposed to receive quite later to receive it earlier to be able to fast track development. So the BOT, we put it in as the last resort, but honestly, our preference is in that order of things. And right now, up until the matter of bulk is actually completed, I don't think we'll go beyond the 100 units that are now being built. I think the first 18 are nearing completion, but the development will come to a screeching halt unless bulk infrastructure matter is resolved in this regard. And ISA has been hard at work trying to find alternative solutions to resolve the matter. If I now go to the Nkosi city, just to indicate that this will be a 7.63 billion integrated human settlement located roughly 40 kilometers east of the city of Mbombela. And you will know that it is going to incorporate wards, including Kwanyamazane, Pinar, and Danki, and this will be a great development. It's in a very sensitive area, considering the protected area of Kruger National Park as a national park of interest to us and the country as a whole. And also importantly, we have also been looking at the development philosophy of it, and that it must hinge itself largely on sustainability and the protection of the surrounding environment, and to make sure that there is a minimal footprint to the development in the area as much as is possible from an engineering perspective. Now, in this regard, this is a private sector initiative as well, as I did indicate earlier, and Dovetail Properties seek to collaborate with the city of Mbombela around this matter, and they are looking at delivering an agricultural city, including also 5,000 odd subsidized housing units, and also having a BNG, so 930 of the breaking new ground workups, as well as a freestanding about 1,747 freestanding breaking new ground type of housing setup. In this regard, it's also looking at commercial and light industry development, as well as community infrastructure in general. So if you look at this and you just consider the number of households that are going in there, the focus on agriculture and light industry, manufacturing and value adding, that goes very well and fits hand in glove with our integrated cities planning, as well as with the whole idea of our industrialization action plan. And we are keen on seeing the development going through. However, one needs to indicate that the township establishment, as I've indicated, has now been approved by Mbombela, and the conditional environmental authorization has now been granted. This one has been a painful exercise, knowing the sensitivities I've emphasized upon. And also the approved funding from the Mpumalanga Department of Human Settlements for the internal services, including subsidized housing and community services. This comes from the Human Settlements Development Grant. And we have also seen that the municipality, ESCOM, as well as the Regional Supply Authority and the Department of Mineral Resources, in as far as licensing is concerned, have all provided their key support for the electrification of the city area that is being planned, and also to incorporate it into the Integrated National Electrification Plan. So whilst this one, we are still awaiting for the city to come back, Mbombela in this regard, to do formal registration. We have kept an eye on it. We have noted progress that has been registered. They still have got two more chapters to complete. They'll also have to finalize on the issue of the management and governance issues of the project itself. And they will also have got to go through treasury approval T1 first before we can get to registration phase in our ISA. So on this one, we think that while it has been a bit of a drag, but it's on course, it's on progress. Of course, with the delay with the conditional environmental authorization, it's running slightly behind schedule, but we think that that can be made up, because on the electricity of things, it has been quite quicker, and also the municipality was very quick in the approval of the township establishment. So to that extent, we are confident that they may catch up with the time frames required, and we are eagerly awaiting the time they are ready and they've completed their paperwork to register with us. I can indicate that I had received a formal request by the DG of the province to help them with capacity to take the process further. We have communicated and we have agreed with them that we will seek that capacity for them, and we will provide it in due course. We envisage that we should be able to provide them with capacity in the next month or so for them to commence and to be supported to take the process even further in this regard. But that one, we want to assure the committee that we do not spend sleepless nights on it. We think that it will be on track. In as far as Lanseria is concerned, Lanseria, as you know, is a regional development node in Gauteng, and is looking at the underdeveloped outlying areas of Gauteng to take greater development and to move with speed. It will be a new, in Gauteng, a new development pool for the province. And it will be the first genuine scale post-apartheid urban node. We envisage that while government is working on the eastern seaboard, that is not in stream anytime between 3 to 5 years. But this one, with the necessary approvals and everything, it could actually come into stream almost quicker. We are envisaging that if the approvals are granted in this regard, Lanseria should be able to go to breaking ground within the next 12 to 18 months. So that is why we still believe that it could actually come ahead of the new Eastern Board development smart city. So Lanseria seeks to actually be a home to approximately 350,000 to 500,000, anywhere in between there, depending on the... And also because Lanseria Phase 1 fully designed, but Phase 2 and 3 is designed as you go. So as a new... developments arise, and as new interested investors come in, they would seek to shape the future of the development pool as a whole. And therefore, that is why the determination of whether it's 300,000, 350,000 or 500,000 people is dependent on the pool in phase two and three and how that turns out. So, but as it is, the intent really is to have a huge development of between 350,000 to 500,000 people. And we, ISA, are coming in as far as supporting the project from an IDA point of view. We are compelled to ensure that we have facilitation meetings with key infrastructure departments and to ensure that we troubleshoot and unblock where the challenges are. One needs to now indicate that despite all the initial fervor and urgency with which the project was taken off the ground, Lanceria is still not registered with us. It has still not gone through gate one. In this regard, we have been engaging with DID for a long time now, over a year, and there has been challenges. And I think the main challenge is with the instability with the city of Johannesburg. Several resolutions have been drafted, proposed for the city council to actually approve the necessary documents and concept, as well as the declaration of a smart city so that some gazetting can then go ahead, and where land needs to be protected, that happens. This spans other areas, including Madibeng and so on. So there is a greater, there has to be greater collaboration with across and not just one municipality, but also in consideration with others, and to also consider that they are also environmentally sensitive areas in that. And the quicker resolutions could come, the better for us all. But City of Joburg has not managed with all the instability that have come. We have seen that it appears that there is now relative stability of sorts. We have requested DID to pursue again that this matter be put before council and that it be considered for approval. Until we get the necessary council approvals, we will not be able to move to other phases of the project and to be able to move with final planning exercise and stakeholder engagements in this regard. And this is where the project is at, is stuck at that level. And we have been trying to work with the Gauteng provincial government, particularly the Department of Infrastructure Development, to resolve same. Now, one just needs to indicate that we are continuing with the coordination effort. As I've indicated earlier, the issue about the Port St. John's thing, just as a highlight, is that we have been targeting the 8th of September for this to go to market. We are still targeting that for the RFP to be sent out and for projects to respond. So that shows you that post the gazetting, there is some progress and some work being done. And also in this regard, ISA will further work with MISA to identify other core projects that need preparation funding. We are aware that the majority of the districts and the municipalities that I've indicated are really under-resourced, and these areas are under-resourced, and we need to provide the sufficient capacity as ISA. We are keen, and we think that once MISA gives us a directive, we will complement their efforts as a lead role player in this regard in unblocking wherever they require us to help them. They have also asked us, for instance, to help them with a number of things. We have already done same and provided same support. In this regard, we will continue to ensure that the planning and precinct development unit of DPWI continues to participate in the Smart City Task Team of COCTA, and that we would ourselves continue to play a lead support role in troubleshooting all the blockages that are there. So I think, Chairperson, with your permission and indulgence, this is where I will leave the matter at, and would be keen on engaging with the members of the committee if anything remains unclear. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mwemi, for this detailed briefing on this matter. I think the quote that you have made, it is right at the end of your presentation is what I indicated when I was opening this meeting, that His Excellency, our President Ramaphosa, in his first sona in this sixth administration, did mention that he's dreaming that he would have some smart cities. Thank you so much for this work that you have done so far. I now invite honorable members, if there are no other additions, I invite honorable members to interact with this presentation. If you can show hand, you can just indicate maybe by saying your name. But on my screen now, I have Honorable Siwisa, followed by Honorable Tring. Honorable Siwisa, followed by Honorable Tring.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to everyone. Apologies, Chair, I'm down with a cold. I think it's the change of provinces. Chair, I don't have many questions on this issue I just need clarity to say, when I look at the presentation, it seems as if all of these mega cities are focused on urban areas. All of them, Mooikloof has already been registered. The other three remaining, we've got a briefing as to what are the hiccups. Now, what I want to know is what criteria was used to actually identify where the mega cities are going to be, taking into consideration that we already have a problem with people that are staying in rural areas. That some of them, I'm going to make an example with KZN. Especially with the recent news, we are still fighting for people to be given houses and everything, and for it to improve. So now, what criteria was used in order for all of these cities to be identified that we are going to make mega cities there? Two, in recent news, apologies about that, Chair. In recent news, we've seen there's a rumor of a fight to establish a mega city in Rustenburg. It's an allegation. I'm not sure about the story, but there are, in my investigation, when I called a few people to find out, with the recent killing of one of the guys that was actually heading to make sure that something like that happens. Is Rustenburg in the pipeline? What is in the pipeline of ISA to establish a mega city in Bojanala region? And then three, Durban Aerotropolis. In one of the slides, it says that DPWI is going to provide accommodation to appropriate user departments. Are they going to build new buildings, or are they going to utilize whatever that they have in Ethekwini municipality? Because, Chair, we've got a lot of buildings that are just sitting there without being utilized. And if DPWI via ISA is going to actually build new buildings, then it means that they're working backwards. They are going to spend money more. And then, what is the financial implication of actually assisting in all of these megacities? Because I thought that we'll get a breakdown as to what are the rents and cents, and what is the time frame for all of these megacities to be actually be finished? Because I think we are in the last leg of the sixth administration, and we are only now hearing getting a proper report in the last quarter or the first quarter of the last year of the sixth administration, that we are actually getting a presentation from ISA and their involvement in the mega city establishment or developments. Another request, Chair, I see that Lanseria is already done with phase one. I don't know if it can be, with my experience from the Telkom Towers and the Bay Bridge, sometimes we've lost faith in what we are told in meetings. When we get there, we find another story other than what we are being told in meetings, maybe a visit can be organized, whether it's private or it's via parliament, for us to actually go and see what the phase one they are talking about. Because the presenter said that phase two and three are ongoing. They are going to work continuously. I stand to be corrected. For now, that will only be my questions, but I'm more interested in financial implications, that how much is going to be spent to do all of these things. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Siwisa. Honorable Tring, followed by Honorable Silo.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my first comment would be a statement that was made by former mayor of Etiquini, Councillor Obed Mlaba, who commented in the early 2000s that urban sprawl is unsustainable, and the building of homes the way we normally do is not sustainable, and we need to look at going vertical so as to sustain the land and prevent urban sprawl. And I agreed with him, and I still do. And so these smart cities hopefully are an attempt also to prevent that urban sprawl, and you know, to have 250,000 to 500,000 people in a city is no mean feat. But Chair, perhaps just three questions. The first is, what kind of listing process will be used to determine who gets into these particular smart cities? The second question is, what kind of security features will there be? When people live close to each other, you normally have challenges, and you just get the wrong individuals, and all it takes is just a handful and can really cause lots of chaos within those particular cities. So what kind of security features are we looking at? Is there going to be the use of AI? Are there going to be biometrics that are going to be taken of those who live in the cities? What kind of restrictions will be placed on individuals? So all of that related to security. And then my last question would be, in the light of some of the serious challenges that particularly some of our municipalities are facing, Etiquini is currently facing some challenges. You've got a ratepayers associations that have now come together and are not paying their rates because of challenges with service delivery, what they alleged is a lack of consultation in the developing of the budget in the city. So you have some of your municipalities where there's dysfunctionality, financial decline, lack of service delivery. So this is a partnership with the local government as well. So how are the challenges at a local government level going to be overcome, particularly where there are those where there are serious challenges of financial decline, dysfunctionality, and or lack of service delivery? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Tring. Honorable Silo, followed by Honorable Van Staden.
Chairperson, thank you very much indeed. Honorable Siwisa has covered me on three fronts, and that is, the first one is on the issue of budgets, of the budget. Now, I look at the presentation, and in fact, it does indicate that there is quite a number of stakeholders or role players that are involved within this particular process: parliament, provincial legislatures. And how do we then get to exercise oversight over these particular projects, given the nature and extent of those that are involved in it? The timeframes, Honorable Siwisa has covered me on that front as well. And we're looking also, Chairperson, at the state of current DPWI-owned buildings that are left unoccupied, that are being illegally invaded, and so forth and so on. And Honorable Suisa made that point in as far as those are concerned, and what would then be the point in as far as either the rebuilding or the reoccupation of buildings that are already left idle by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, and as far as this is concerned. I do have a problem, Chairperson, that we are sitting in stage six load shedding, and we're discussing smart cities. I find it rather ironic because indeed smart cities do need sustainable power supply in order for them to be able to function. But the reality is that Honorable Suisa made the point, and I want to also then ask the question in as far as the manner in which these particular areas were identified for the establishment of these particular buildings. And as I speak, there goes load shedding, just my luck. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Silo, Honorable Van Staden.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Now, I must concur with my colleague, Member Fring, and the colleague who just spoke before me. I think before we can talk about smart cities in South Africa, I think we must start looking at what the current state of affairs is in our municipalities currently, where service delivery has completely deteriorated drastically due to poor management and the collapse of the infrastructure. And I think this problem needs to be addressed first before we can start about smart cities. The load shedding problem must be addressed first. The infrastructure problem must be addressed properly, and so forth, and so forth. But while we're on this topic, I think it's also important to bring in the matter from which the minister made a statement yesterday about the operation Bring Back. And I want to ask you, Chairperson, if we can get more information regarding this operation from the minister. And I think it will also be important to get that information before we even can go further and to speak about the smart cities projects and stuff. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Van Staden, in fact, thank you to all the members that raised their questions and comments on this report. I really appreciate the presentation detailed, and it shows that as the president announced this dream, and we all know that at least by now, as the government that came in 1994, we ought to have developed one of the smart cities, but can see that the program is going, though at a slower pace. But what Honorable Silo has raised is one of the issues that I have a real challenge. In fact, I would say that it should be noted that when we're dealing with the oversight of this project, because there are many spheres and other committees or departments involved, that means then when we do oversight, it would be an oversight not only done by the department. You would need the provincial committees. You would need municipalities, because this is a multi-pronged project, as the reports have indicated so. But also, I think we all know how right now, in fact, in the apartheid era, how people would move from the rural areas straight to urban areas. And as such, we know that it is a nightmare when it comes to human settlement if you talk about urban areas. So I think one of the issues that the smart cities should address is this issue of human settlement. How do we ensure that people remain in urban, in rural areas? That's why when it comes to Port St. John's, a small harbour development, I always have an interest. Because if you talk about Port St. John's, you are talking about a rural town. So developing a small harbour and that envisaged the smart city by COCTA, that is on that corridor, Port Shepstone to Mthatha along the coast, it would really mean that there would be a shift in going to urban areas, moving back to rural areas. So on that note, can we then ask Dr. Mwemi and your team to respond to the questions that have been raised by honorable members, please?
Honorable Chair, I don't know whether the Deputy Minister wishes to express anything before I go ahead of her. I'll take guidance from you. I know you are the one chairing the meeting, but I was
okay,
just from a protocol.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mwemi. It's because in many a times the executive would come right at the end. Honorable DM, do you want to take a bite now or at the end? Or maybe let's allow you, Dr. Mwemi, to continue and then the DM will come in at the end.
At the end, Chair, thank you.
Thank you, Honorable DM. Dr.
Thank
Mwemi.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much, and thanks to the DM. Chair, I think you have largely answered the first question raised by Honorable Suisa about the whether we are focused only in urban areas. I heard Wes, I was presenting, did indicate to the committee that the presentation does not cover all of the smart city projects that are registered with ESA or those that we are aware that are in the pipeline being planned by municipalities, cities and districts. We have only covered what the committee specifically highlighted as the key projects they want to get feedback on, and we covered that part. So just to indicate that there are others, and I did indicate when I was putting a slide for role clarification between ourselves and DPWI as well as COCTA, to indicate that DPWI's mandate, which is drawn from the agreement signed by the President and the Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure, highlights that the role of DPWI is to identify existing cities, work on them in order to have a plan for their progressive and retrofitting and conversion into being smart cities. This now talks to existing cities with existing buildings, and this will include also buildings belonging to public works to be retrofitted and to put in the smart technologies and to do what is necessary and repurposing of these cities, including their city designs and special planning to convert them into smart cities. That's the role DPWI. So the focus is not only on new cities. It is the mandate, though, of COCTA to look at greenfield projects or totally new developments, such as coordination of the Eastern Seaboard One, Lanseria, and so on. So the timeframes are project dependent, and there is not a one solution fits them all that would say by this period, all the project in stream should have been smart cities or the project should have been delivered. Each and every project has its own delivery timeframes, and it considers the extent of development, the impediments to that investment, and also the nature of the investment itself. So planning of each and every smart city is a bit different. However, we know that the smart cities framework does give a broad guidance in terms of the processes to follow. And for the first time, it brings some degree of uniformity and at least expectations of what can be done and the necessary steps to be done. And if we quantify that by period, it now beginning to show that from inception, identification to follow all the processes we have now followed with the Eastern Seaboard, it takes between 3 to 5 years to plan a smart city and to get it done and to do all of those regulatory processes that are in stream. And so many of these projects are at different time spaces in as far as that is concerned. And many of them, depending on what challenges they meet, the job of ESA as our vindicators is to help them troubleshoot these challenges they have, to provide them with the support to be able to meet the requisite requirements that are being placed as per the framework is concerned. Now, I need to correct that I had Honorable Suisa saying I had alluded to the fact that Lanseria is done with phase one. Well, I do not recall saying such, Chair. If I have said such, I think it could have been in a mistake on my part, but there is no such that Lanseria is done with phase one. Lanseria has not moved out of the starting blocks. I did indicate that they have not registered with us. They have not crossed gate one. I've indicated that the reason why they have not done so is that the necessary council approvals at the city of Johannesburg have not been forthcoming because of the difficulties and the instability in that council. I did indicate, though, that for over a year, we had been trying with the Department of Infrastructure Development in Gauteng to get the project ready for council approval, and we have not succeeded during that entire period. And that having seen the relative stability, we have once more re-engaged with DID to say, may we proceed, may we try to get this on the top of the agenda of the city of Joburg. And you would recall that they were struggling of recent, even with the new government that is in place there. They were struggling just to pass the budget. And they were struggling with major issues. And the council, because of its inoperationability, has now a huge backlog of issues to go through council, and this being one of the issues. And we believe that ultimately we will need to drive this with that. You would recall that when the concept was first initiated, the city council was quite relatively stable. They were very eager. The leadership of the city at the time was eager with the project, but things have changed, and I think we have to live with those realities. Honorable, I think one could indicate that we agree with you that the smart cities really are intended to deal with the issue of urban sprawl. It's part of that, and it's also to also ensure that urban decay and what we see, and this is in as far as the brownfield project of the smart cities are concerned, to reclaim those city precincts and districts, and to ensure that we can retrofit them to allow us to take it to where service delivery is improved and is better improved. One needs to indicate that in as far as these projects are concerned, the majority of them really come in a form of a PPP. So one can indicate that Regulation 16 provides for this very well in the Treasury regulations, and how the projects get listed and how people participate in them ought to go with the prescripts of Regulation 16. The Treasury will not dare even issue a Treasury approval at level one if it does not believe that the prescripts have been complied with, and the Treasury would not be prepared if there has not been open competitive bidding and all related process. Even we ourselves, we will not arrive at our IRC to approve a project to be registered on our database of projects unless the TA1 has been complied with and that the Treasury has given its initial approval before we do bigger heavy lifting issues to arrive at Treasury approval number two, which is essential for contracting and going ahead. So from that point of view, we leave this to the project sponsors, being the cities, the departments, everybody themselves, to go through that those prescripts and to comply. Where they require help from us, we do provide such assistance, but primarily is the responsibility of the project sponsors to do that work and for us to ensure that we then assist them taking the process forward once we see that compliance is in place. On security features, this differ on a project-by-project basis. but the commonalities of what we see across all of this proposed project, and if you read in the conceptual frameworks of this project and you look into the project planning documents, you see a heavy emphasis on modern day technologies for security. They are predictive security technologies that are embedded in many of the proposals. Many of them looks at advanced and integrated CCTV programs. Some of them incorporate, as you point out correctly, Honorable Singh, facial recognition technologies, biometrics. And we have seen a strong leaning towards the emergence of AI in many of these technological proposals that are coming forth for enhancement of security and predictive security technologies. The issue of consultation with councils, we believe we ESA consult with everybody. I don't think that we will even arrive at registration of a project until, and I think Moitloof is a good example. Until Tshwane does what it needs to do, we aren't proceeding to the next gateway. And this is clear by our commitment that the prescripts even of the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act and its spirit and letter of intergovernmental cooperation, we pursue that quite heavily. And to that extent, we are quite keen and committed to make sure that all the councils are, local government is fully consulted in this regard and the necessary approvals by these councils come forth. Otherwise, we will not just trailblaze it and proceed with projects without having duly ensured consultation by with councils. So when a project sponsor brings a program to us and we ourselves see that the deficiency has been around insufficient consultation, we normally send them back. And where appropriate, we even support. Like in this case, when it became clear that Moitloof is suffering, we took it upon ourselves to also do consultations. And when we had the city council's predicament, we engaged with the treasury around it. We even came up with solutions that we also put before the city. We have still not been successful despite the three attempts. But yes, we do consult effectively. We agree with both Honorable Thring as well as Honorable Van Staden. The challenges at local government level should be addressed and shouldn't just be brushed aside. You would not be able, I doubt, that you would possibly run a smart city with a failing council. And that is why we insist on governance matters. That's why even with Ngozi City, we have said that until we understand what the governance model is, we will not be able to proceed in this regard with the project. And that they need to answer to that before we go to gate one and approve that. And again, in this regard, one needs to also just indicate our extensive engagement through MISA and COCTA on the Eastern Seaboard development, that those district municipalities and everybody, they are being thoroughly consulted. And you have seen what we have put up front to say, until these outcomes are registered and realizable, it will be an exercise in futility to start really doing the implementation of a smart city unless those four key pillars are spoken to, are actually addressed. And our job then is to help the districts comply with that, to help them have efficient water running systems, sanitation, waste removal, ICT technologies to manage their own affairs and service delivery in general. And therefore, We are on the same page. I don't think that there is doubt about it. And even Honorable C. Trollo had raised this matter. Indeed, we are keen on ensuring that the failures are addressed in order for us to move with speed in that regard. We will not go ahead. On the issue of load shedding, I think the comfort Honorable C. Trollo could draw is that not all of the smart cities, though, are keen on registering or enlisting on the national grid. There are some, like Ngozi is registered now, is part of the integrated electrification program of ESCOM. But you would see that some seeks to, like Lanseria, seeks to have greater dependence on sustainable renewable energy solutions, and it seeks to register and lean on that so that it's less dependent on the national grid. I doubt that some of them, because of their size, they could be completely off-grid, but many of them would have reduced reliance significantly on the national grid in this regard. And I think even with Ngosi, we are asking, as I've indicated, you may have seen part of our current consultations, we were clear that we're engaging with the Department of Energy, and for the licensing part of it, I was specific about that, primarily because we seek energy generation licenses to go along with the smart city, along the current allowances and rules that govern the space. And we are keen on helping them achieve all of that and to make sure that there is less and lesser reliance on this. Again, I've answered the issue of the old buildings, whether they will be part of the smart cities. Yes, where DPWI has indeed identified cities that are ready for retrofitting into becoming smart cities, what we call brownfields projects. In many of these cities, you would find that the public works buildings will form part of such a process. Lastly, the issue that has been raised, Honorable Chair, was on Operation Bring Back. Whilst I'm privy to the information, I think it will be inappropriate of me to respond. I think the department can respond to the matter. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Mwemi. I don't know whether are there any additions from the department before we allow for a second round of questions. Honorable Suisa, is that a legacy hand or a new hand? Honorable Suisa?
It's a legacy chair. Let me wait for the response from DPWI. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you. Ms. Geledi?
Thank you, Chairperson. I picked up from Honorable C. Kulu a question around what the department is doing on unoccupied buildings. Now, I think the details about the program that we call refurbish, operate, and transfer, it will be a matter that we discuss further, I think, on our meeting tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. But we have a lot of unoccupied buildings, and the question that we have been asked, or at least being criticized as public works, is that why are we leasing buildings when we actually have buildings that are standing and are unoccupied? So the strategy of us having to just guard those facilities and not maintain them properly is obviously not sustainable. So we have embarked on a program called ROT that will involve us going out and requesting, or at least asking the private sector to then come in and invest in those buildings. And then we're going to give them long-term leases and guarantee them government tenants. But then that will be the program that we are rolling out going forward instead of us investing capital, which obviously the fiscus will not be able to handle. And it's a long-term project that the government is taking through. And we're using Infrastructure South Africa to roll out the program. So far, we have identified 5 buildings in Pretoria. The idea is to roll out the program throughout South Africa to identify in various cities where we have such buildings, obviously responding to the recent developments that we are seeing with hijacked buildings as well. And the department, our minister has been appointed to lead that particular program. So as part of ROTP, we also have another program called Operation Bring Back, which is also meant for us to identify. In fact, there are buildings that have already been identified by the SIU as having been either illegally transferred or stolen or illegally occupied. And that program is going to be scaled up as well in light of recent developments. So those are the two big programs that we're embarking on to deal with unoccupied buildings or illegally occupied buildings. Details of ROTP will be shared in our meeting tomorrow, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Rather than Mr. Leti, DM. Over to you, DM, in rounding up.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, and good morning to the Honorable members and officials. Honorable Chair, I think without repeating what has been said, all I will say is that I thank the committee for requesting an update on the smart cities, and that us as DPWI, whenever the committee seeks us to give information on anything that will comply. And notwithstanding that the Smart City Program is a triple P program, and that DPWI, through Infrastructure South Africa, which is one of our entities, that whenever the committee seeks to get information on what is happening, that will comply, and that it is also not easy for ESA to make and take decisions on their own. Based on that, there are municipalities and districts and also funders involved in the whole process, and that whatever DPWI is supposed to do on its side for the smart cities to be a success, that ESA will do its best to speed up the process, even though they are not the one that makes the last decision, because there are a lot of role players. But we thank the committee for requesting us to come and give an update and a report on the smart cities. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable members, good morning, everyone. The chairperson just indicated that she's having challenges. So I'll quickly take over until she's back. I'm also having extreme network challenges. So thank you very much, Honorable DM for and the department for your responses. Do we have some follow-up questions? I see Honorable Suwi. Lisa, do we have any other follow-ups? Can you hear me?
Yes, Honorable.
Yes, we can hear you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much. We see Honorable Suwisa followed by Honorable Van Staden in that fashion. Honorable Suwisa.
Thank you, Acting Chair. I just need to make a comment, and I asked a question about time frames. The reason why I'm asking time for a question on time frames is in order for ESA to show us that this is an urgency. And time frame simply means that if they say that by this period, I wanted actually to know from the already four that have been discussed here, when do they plan to make sure that they are there? Yes, there will be challenges, but when are these mega cities or smart cities going to be finalized to say that here's a city? What is their time frame? Because if there are no time frames, everything is going to be dragged. We are going to be brought back here and be told that City of Fani is not coming on board, City of Johannesburg is not coming on board. There are still negotiations going on in Ethekwini municipality. But if they have a time frame to say, by this year, we want the cities to be up and running, it means that whoever that needs to push for negotiations between national government and local government and provincial government is actually going to push this to be an urgent matter. So my time frame was based on that to say, yes, it's going to take between 3 and 5 years, but when is ESA? What is your time frame? What is your target? When do you want to see these mega cities running? Another question that hasn't been answered is, what are the financial implications by ESA to assist all of these provincial and local governments to get their cities up and running? Because I saw someone say there's consultation, they are assisting them. I don't think it's free of charge. You can never provide services without charging anything. So I wanted to know What are the financial implications? What is your budget in all of this? Let's just speak about the four that you've mentioned today and not the others that we're still waiting for a report on them. Thank you, Acting Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Suvisa, Honorable Van Staden.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now, I must concur, the time frames is very important because we are hearing since the announcement that the President made in 2019 in Parliament that the private sector will be involved and all this kind of stuff, and but we never hear about how long it's going to take, where are we now, and the money which is going to be needed, or the budget which is going to be needed to put this project into full swing. Just another question, Chip, because I just want to know, will the minister attend tomorrow's meeting so that we can also get clarity around the last point I've made previous about the Operation Bring Back? I think it's important that this committee gets the full information regarding that project. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Van Staden. Any other follow-up? In the absence of any other, we'll hand over to the department and ISA to respond to the question. Thank you.
Person, thank you, Honorable Van Skalvik. Let me just respond and recapture what has been raised. And the key matter that's coming out is the issue of timeframes. In my initial response, I had indicated that each project has its own timelines, depending on its size, its complexity, its interdependencies, how many role players are involved in it, and whether it's a cross-municipal boundary project or cross-district project or is within similar, and also the nature of the project. What does it involve? How many licensing does it require? Dependencies, whether it's in the areas which are sensitive that require additional licenses and permissions, environmental impact assessments, traffic studies, and every other thing that's dependent on developing a smart city of any magnitude. So, but I do understand what is being raised and that we ought to show significant agency. If the question is directed at the four projects that we have put here for us, maybe it should be answered in context in this regard. I did indicate that in terms of the smart cities framework, if you read it carefully, the 16 steps to a development of a smart city requires different stages and steps. Each step, whilst it will not be uniform right across, but it's a good guide. For instance, step one takes about 3 months, which is the review of the conceptual framework. And this would, in presumption that a municipality or project sponsor has already conceptualized something, and that the consideration of that, which is before us, needs to be looked at within 3 months. Obviously, you could imagine with a project like Lanceria, 350,000 to 500,000 people, 3 months will not be enough to review such a project. It may vary, it may go to 6 months, but generally that framework gives you step by step, you can anticipate time, and that is why I was saying that the planning phase for the smart city would take anything between 3 to 5 years to plan properly and to have it to a stage where we could say it is shovel ready. If we look at the four that we briefed you about today, all of them are behind schedule. If I'm to take the guide of the city's framework as a benchmark, we would then say all of them are behind schedule. Lanceria itself announced in 2019. You would imagine by now, it should be in year one of implementation. But as you can see, I've indicated it has not gone through gate one, meaning that it is not even registered on ISA's project as an integrated project with us. It's not a CPES yet. It's not on our list of projects. because of the challenges that have been there around getting the necessary approvals, a stage that we had seen and we had in our books factored a period of 8 months. It had not finished in all of that. It has struggled significantly. So all of them are behind schedule. And as I was speaking and I was presenting, I did indicate that in as far as the Durban Aerotropolis project, ever since it has now been put under the wing of Dube Trade Port, we have seen some significant shift. So we is still behind schedule, but we have seen that now it is moving. With respect to this one on Nkosi, I've indicated that it was behind schedule. It is the only one of the four. We are confident that it will catch up with time. It was, if we use the yardstick of the 3 to 5 years, it was running about 6 months already behind schedule. But we think that it will be able to catch up that time frame and move with speed in that regard. Obviously, there are still interdependencies. Even them, the city council, still have got to apply to other agencies of government, where they do indicate that, for instance, it takes a long time, sometimes even 2 to 3 years to get a water use license. It will please the committee that on such 38 other occasions we have troubleshooted this matter. We have been able to deliver water use licenses much more faster, sometimes within 90 days. And the fastest we have done it, we did it in 36 days. So I think that shows that where we are able to kick all doors within government, we do so. And we try to troubleshoot to help the projects move with speed and to improve on the hindrances that are there and the impediments to projects. But as I've indicated, we can do slides that indicate the timeframes and as well as where exactly in terms of the expected timeframes this project ought to be. Right now, we think that Lanseria is the one that is most delayed compared to others. So effectively, Lanseria is running like 2 years behind schedule. As I've indicated, it should be in year one of implementation, of rollout right now. But it has not even moved out of gate one. It will take it like 2 more years from gate one to reach implementation. And that is why I'm saying that it is, we believe that it is running 2 years behind schedule. In as far as the other ones, we are quite keen that we also help this. And I've been asked by Honorable Suisa, what are the financial implications of all of this support we provide to project sponsors and to this? We have been engaging with the Treasury. There is a recognition that with a pipeline that of in excess of 15 trillion worth of projects, in all honesty, we need anything between 10 to 16% of that to deliver qualitatively on these projects, considering the challenges. And we were requesting a budget of 3 billion from the Treasury to provide support. That has never been granted. What we have been granted, though, is a 600 million project preparation fund, which the first 200 million has been given to our mother department, Public Works. And in this regard, that 200 million is the one we utilize to support projects that are stuck and to provide support to struggling municipalities and project sponsors to bring these projects from an early business case to bankability and to financial close. So that's the type of resources we are deploying from our side. They cost us about 200 million a year for now. We think we can do actually better if we want to fast track many of the projects. We would need even greater resources. We move from a premise that say we shouldn't be crying over spilled milk. If the projects that we put forth are projects that will grow the economy, grow the regional GDP and the national GDP, we are keen on helping troubleshoot all deficiencies and capacity challenges we see in the system, addressing those purposefully to be able to troubleshoot and roll out these programs and to bring integrity to the system of infrastructure rollout programs. Thank you very much. I think I've attempted to answer all of that, but we will do, Chair, and submit, with your permission, a slide dedicated at showing each of these four projects, where they are in the implementation timeframes and where the delays are. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Honorable Franz Galvate, for holding the fort. Thank you, Dr. Muhami, Deputy Minister, for these follow-up questions and comments that have been raised by honorable members on this issue. I think it's an issue that cannot be finished today, but we appreciate the role that's being played by ESA, which is part of the directorate in the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. But what is key and what should appear in our what should appear, Honorable Silo, you also have a follow-up. I was just rounding off.
No, Chair. Yes, thank you, Chair. No apologies. I just wanted to just ask a question once you are done with your concluding remarks, just outside of the presentation.
Okay. I will give you that. This to be written down, that the minister is back. Let's allow the minister to talk. Minister Galala?
No, thanks. Chair, I wasn't going to speak because I joined when the DM was doing the summary, and I think she covered everything. But on follow-up questions, I think it was Honorable Van Staden who I think made a question that he has asked something to the minister. Now, I didn't get that. If there is such a question, we will be willing to take it. Honorable Chair, thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Honorable Van Staden has raised his hand. Let's allow him. Honorable Van Staden.
Thank you, Chairperson. No, the question was about, which I was asking this morning, was about Operation Bring Back, which you have, the Honorable Minister have announced. I just want to hear if we can get some more information regarding this program, how it will be implemented. Because that the statement we saw in the media yesterday, that's a bit unclear around that. And we just want to know what this program will exactly contain and how it will be implemented and roll out. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Van Staden, Minister.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to you. And once again, greetings to all honorable members. The question. The Department of Public Works and Infrastructure had a campaign of ensuring that the various pieces of land as well as assets such as buildings that have gone either missing or are unregistered be kept back and registered, and thereafter we should either commercialize those or allocate them to various state organs that they need. We have started this campaign. We are working with provinces and municipalities in particular to identify those pieces of land and ensure that those who are illegally occupied, we engage on ensuring that the people who are there are evicted and those assets are brought back to the state. This also includes some of the assets that were sold by either were sold fraudulently by either officials or some people colluding with the private sector, including prime land that is in areas such as Midrand and Centre. So it is the campaign that we are rolling out where we engage with municipalities, we try to consolidate those assets into our register and ensure that those that are illegally occupied, those people who are in, are evicted. I believe that will satisfy the Honorable Member. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Minister, for that. And coming back, as you indicated, that will be joining the Cabinet Subcommittee. We really appreciate, and I'm sure, Honorable, on behalf of the committee, Honorable Van Staden, if not certified by the answer, then you will definitely write and you request more information. As I was concluding on this, appreciating the role that is being done by the department, especially through its directorate, ISSA, on this issue of smart cities. I think Dr. Mwemi indicated that they only dealt with the one that were mentioned, but there is a lot of work that is being done out there. So what I would like to say, that should be noted, because it is clear that it's not only one department, it's not only one sphere of government that is involved when it comes to this. For example, the issue of Lanseria, you have the Gauteng provincial government, you have the city of Johannesburg Metro, and then you also have the department through ISSA. You may also have a private investor, as the president indicated, that once we deal with these major infrastructure projects, the private sector will also come in. So I want this to be noted, because this may form part of our legacy report, that when we deal with the oversight of these intergovernmental infrastructure projects, we need multi-level legislative oversight strategies. It cannot be a strategy, it cannot be an oversight of only one portfolio committee. So we really need these multi-level legislative oversight strategies to deal with these major intergovernmental infrastructure projects, such as this one that we are referring to, which is the Smart City Infrastructure Project. So I hope that that will be noted, so that it is taken as part of our legacy report, that whatever committee comes in the seventh administration to deal with this, it is seen in that nature. I think even Honorable Silo, for your progressive, interactive comments and questions on this project. We would really want to see that when we were part of the parliament, and even if we were not part of the parliament, we talked about the issue of the smart city, and we saw that smart cities minister are developed in this dispensation of government, that after 1994, new towns were developed. Thank you, Department. Thank you, Minister, and your team. We will now go to the second item of our agenda, which are the minutes of the previous meeting. Lwazi, the
morning,
meeting,
sir,
that we held on the 30th. The department may then be released. Thank you. Honorable members, those are the minutes of the meeting that we held on the 30th of August last week. Please go up. Any questions, comments, corrections on these minutes, Honorable Members? I don't see any hands, Honorable Members. Questions, corrections, comments? If that is the case, may I then have a mover for the adoption of these minutes as a true reflection of what we discussed in the... Okay, Honorable Zondo? Honorable Zondo?
Thanks, Chair. I will talk in the dark, Chair, because we're in load shedding this site, so it's dark here. But greetings to you, Chair. Greetings to the Minister, the Deputy Minister, members of the portfolio, and our admin staff. I raise my hand to move the minutes as the true reflection of the last meeting that we had. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Zondo. Moves for the adoption of the minutes. May I have a seconder, please? May I have a seconder, yeah. Honorable members?
Yes,
thank you, Honorable Van Skalvik. Those are the minutes that we dealt with. Honorable members, Honorable Sikolo raised a very critical issue to me. I will allow him to raise it in the meeting. Honorable Sikolo.
Chair, thank you very much, and thank you for the opportunity. Chair, the point that I had wanted to bring along was, given the extent of the load shedding that we currently find ourselves in, whether it would be possible for us to consider in-person meetings of the portfolio committee so that we can be able to deal with all outstanding matters in a manner that does not hinder any of us moving forward until such time that, I suppose until the end of the term, but I think it's important that, Chair, that we are able to also assist one another in this situation, as many of us are currently stuck without electricity for 12 hours in a day, and that does affect a lot of our connectivity, and it does take away our responsibility to be able to be interactive with the department and its entities as best as possible, also in fulfilling our role as members of parliament. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sikolo. I asked Honorable Sikolo to raise this, Honorable Members, because when we are in the areas that we coming from, especially the rural areas, when there is load shedding, you also experience the loss of connectivity. But as much as you would experience is here in Western Cape, it is not that bad as it usually is in rural areas. I think Honorable Sikolo is raising that on that, and it is crucial. I understand now there are at least many there are many boardrooms and committee rooms that are fully functional in Parliament. So we will indicate as the portfolio committee, but not the one that will have tomorrow. The one that will have tomorrow will also be virtual. We will indicate to you, Honorable Members, once we have secured a committee room that maybe next week our portfolio committee will be in person, not physical, not virtual. We will indicate to you because we need to secure a committee room first, as you know that all the committees are moving towards having physical meetings. And we all know that we don't have enough committee rooms right now in Parliament due to the fire that burned the main building of the parliament and all the committee rooms that were there. So we will check with the admin when can we have a committee room that is free to accommodate us. Please also note that this term or this quarter will be having two meetings each week because this quarter has very, very few weeks. So we tried to ensure that all the issues that we have to discuss this term are accommodated in the 2 days, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So when we talk about physical meeting, we mean Tuesdays and Wednesday. Thank you, Honorable Sikolo. Thank you so much, Honorable Members. Lwazi, do we have any announcements? Lwazi?
No announcement at the moment, Chair. I will send a link for tomorrow's meeting during the course of today.
Okay, thank you so much, Lwazi, and our support team. Thank you again, honorable members, for your progressive interaction today with the report that we're dealing with from the department. And I know that you always do that because you probe questions that the South Africans would like to ask, but because we are representing them, then those questions have to be asked by us. Thank you so much, honorable members. This meeting for today is adjourned. See you tomorrow at 9 on virtual platform. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Bye, colleagues.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.